for the Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic. This is Chris Parks being joined, as always, by Grant Jelly, the Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer, with another conservation report here on KJN. Good morning to you, Grant.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Yeah, we're kind of in the doldrums of winter here when things are quiet. Of course, it's not pleasant outdoors. There's not a lot, actually, of activity going on outdoors. Not many seasons in place here right now. I suppose about the most outdoor activity we got going on at the moment is some folks out there maybe doing some ice fishing. We've seen that kind of off and on, and I've heard various amounts of success with that here in the area. But other than that, not a whole lot going on right now.
Yeah, this is kind of like our August version of the summer. It just kind of get to that point in the winter where people start to get to thinking about spring. I know I am, but yeah, ice fishing is still going on. There's some people seeing some varied success out on the local lakes. It seems like when we get a warmer day, obviously when the temperatures start to creep up is when we get more participation in ice fishing. So some of the local lakes like Anita, Littlefield, some of the area lakes in Adair County have been getting a fair amount of fishing pressure, and folks are reporting some success on bluegill. Crappie have been kind of slow, but some of these lakes have some pretty good numbers of bluegill, so they're doing quite well on that. But yeah, there's still a lot of chances to get out, and on some of these nice warm days, hope to see people getting the kids out, because it can kind of be a break from cabin fever and get out and get a little fresh air. And, you know, who knows, if you get out there and fish aren't biting, you can always go for a little hike or exploring, and people will start be looking for some shed deer antlers here pretty soon too. So there's still some stuff to keep ourselves occupied outdoors.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, though, getting out there might get somebody interested in ice fishing. I think that's one thing that's always kind of interesting. You know, everybody gets introduced to things in different ways. And, you know, it may be, of course, the typical kind of take your little ones out sometime during the spring or the summer when it's nice outdoors and you can, you know, put the bobber on and those types of things. But for some others, they may have been introduced by somebody else taking them out ice fishing, because sometimes that can be a simpler way to do it too, where you've just got that one little area you're sitting focused on, and it might get people hooked that way too. So it's always fun to experience the outdoors and those types of things in different ways. We hope people continue to do that. It's been a pretty good year, I guess, overall for the outdoors when we look at it from a broader picture. In the last couple of years, really, I mean, the pandemic obviously kind of sent us all into different modes and finding different hobbies, and doing things outdoors was one of those great outlets. And we've seen that reflected in the numbers of license sales that you've had here as well.
Yeah, we have. You know, during the COVID year, I guess you should call it, in 2020, obviously we've talked in the past about some of the record license sales we've seen, in everything from, you know, fishing license, both resident and non-resident, to our spring turkey license numbers and deer license were, you know, just through the roof, because obviously people were getting more involved in this. It was kind of a safe sport, if you will, where you get out and not be, you know, surrounded by a bunch of people in a confined area. So we saw a pretty significant increase in those licenses, and, you know, we're kind of post COVID for that peak year right now. And we're still seeing some really good numbers, and, you know, that's a good thing for outdoors men and women, that hopefully, like you said earlier, people that are just introduced to a sport, whether it's hunting, fishing, trapping, whether they're introduced for the first time, you know, during a pandemic or at any other point in their life, I guess the goal or the hope for all of that is that they continue to participate in that sport afterwards, and that they do get that first experience that's really good and kind of gets them hooked. So we saw some really good numbers of licenses that were sold in 2021. Resident fishing license, we sold 208,000, almost 209,000 licenses here across the state. Was a really really good good numbers there. And then hunting wise, we sold roughly 60,000 hunting and habitat annual licenses. Again, that's a pretty healthy number for us. And what I found interesting was our non-resident fishing licenses really increased, and we sold almost 27,000 non-resident fishing licenses. And then, of course, you got a lot of 1-day and 3- and 7-day licenses mixed in there as well. You know, but that kind of tells us that people from out of state, or maybe those who left Iowa through adulthood, are coming back and enjoying the outdoors. I see a lot when, even when I'm out checking ice fishermen, or even in the spring when I'll be checking fishermen, that, you know, living as close as we do to Omaha and Nebraska, we get a lot of influx of those anglers coming over, and they're always complimenting Iowa's lakes and our fisheries program, and really you know, bragging about it compared to their home state. So that's always good to hear. But you know, it's also good that we're selling those licenses, and those people are coming over and enjoying our natural resources as well. So a lot of licenses sold there, and hopefully 2022 is kind of on the same track. And you know, we've talked about it in past shows. This is a great time, if you're a person who always buys those licenses annually, to go to and download that free app, or go to the DNR website, or do the old-fashioned way and stop by a vendor and purchase those licenses. And for $5, you can get that hard card that has a new design this year. So lots of options when it comes to purchasing those hunting licenses. And, you know, one of the more popular ones I'm seeing is people buying them with their smartphone. And they can actually carry that hunting or fishing license there on their phone and show it to us when asked to do so. And that's perfectly fine. They don't have to have a paper copy of it. But the only thing that we do need to have paper copies of still are deer and turkey tags. So lots of ways to get those licenses in hand or electronically, and hope that people keep going out and, you know, getting hooked on the sport and introducing others to the great outdoors.
Yeah, certainly. Lots of options. It's as easy as it's ever been, and a lot of folks obviously are taking advantage of all those different resources. I know a couple of those options I think are great ideas with the licenses. That's something that I've always found kind of, you know, a little bit annoying once in a while. You know, you buy that license and you have that paper copy, or you did it online but you had to print it out, and then you're, you know, forgetting where you stick that, or you're keeping it maybe along with you in a tackle box or something, and it's getting beat up. So options to have like the hard card or to have it on a mobile device just makes that much easier, and it makes for folks are keeping what they need with them and taking care of all that business. So that's good. We also do have an option this time of the year. It's time of year where folks like to think about all the money that they spent the last year, or where everything's gone. You get to go see the tax man. And when you do that, we've had a lot of folks that are generous throughout the years to contribute a little bit extra to help out the Department of Natural Resources by contributing to that chickadee checkoff. You've got the option to donate a little bit more and be able to do that in a, you know, a nice tax-friendly way when you go to file your taxes here this year.
Yeah, definitely a good option for Iowans. The Fish and Wildlife Fund, known as the Chickadee Checkoff, is a good option for those of us who are filing taxes. And, you know, I like to tell people that it's not just for, you know, your game species like deer and turkey and pheasants and all that. These funds go out to help a variety of both game and non-game species. So, you know, if you're into songbirds or reptiles and that sort of thing, it covers the whole gamut, from, you know, bees and butterflies to everything in between. So just not for, you know, hunters. It's for conservationists and people who really enjoy supporting the DNR and those programs that help protect those species.
Yeah, we have so many areas around the state that, you know, are worked on and protected throughout the year. And there's always, of course, things that need to be done to upgrade what's out there, upgrade, you know, what we're planting out there as well to help out wildlife. There's just all kinds of ways that are affected that maybe you don't think about on an everyday basis and can really, really be something that is beneficial. So we certainly appreciate those folks that, you know, take a little bit extra out of what they have in their lives to help out the natural surroundings around them with that program. So we hope you consider that when you go to file your taxes here this year. I had an opportunity here this week to speak with one of the specialists talking about, she deals mainly with cover crops and those types of things. And there's a program coming up, and I thought this was kind of an interesting connection to what we were just talking about there with helping the outdoors. The Iowa Learning Farms is going to have an event there at the Wallace Learning Center there near Lewis coming up on February 15th. And this is a workshop for landowners and farmers. And the title of it is Finding Profit in Perennial Vegetation. So they're trying to find ways to use some of that land out there that maybe isn't the best production land, or you have issues with, you know, equipment, or if there's different saturation levels, those types of things. Everybody's trying to find out what's the best way to optimize the land they have. And they're starting to find that, you know, planting some perennial vegetation can be very beneficial in a number of different ways. It can be things that you can plant that can end up helping out the operation as far as feed or bedding material for your livestock that you have as well, or someone else nearby. But it can also, of course, just be beneficial to the wildlife around to help out pollinators. Those are obviously important things that we need to have around to help those crops look good out there in the field too. So it was an interesting, just another option to kind of do some of that targeted planting that's out there that can, you know, if you're not doing it on a larger scale, like in a full-blown CRP manner, you can do some little things around that can really maybe be beneficial to your land and ultimately helps out the outdoors, and it helps out others that want to be involved in the outdoors. And I know, Grant, you always are appreciative of folks that are, you know, taking that time to think about what's best for their surroundings.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it doesn't have to be, like you said, a large-scale operation. Just a lot of little things really add up over time. So, you know, the more that we can get done to conserve habitat is really important for, you know, all sorts of species. And another thing kind of along those lines, Chris, that I wanted to mention was that people can still be applying, or teachers can be applying for the Trees for Kids grant applications. They can apply through March 4th, and grantees can be awarded up to $2,500 to cover the cost of trees and mulch. All trees for this program must be planted on public property and involve youth in the planting process. So we will get first preference here in Cass County, Fremont County, Mills, Montgomery, Page, and Pottawatomie counties, but all applications obviously are welcome across the state. So just another good program to help get kids involved in the outdoors and improve that habitat here locally.
Yeah, that's awesome. Another, yeah, great program to keep in mind to give them an opportunity to get the youth involved with the outdoors a little bit more. I know areas here locally like we have over at the outdoor classroom have taken advantage of situations like that and planting opportunities. So it can really be impactful for youth in the area to see that firsthand. So something to think about. All right, that's a little bit about what we have to tell you here this week. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to let you know about more what's going out in the great outdoors. Grant, we appreciate your time again.
All right, thanks, and stay warm.
Yeah, that's Grant Jelly, Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer. I'm Chris Parks. Thanks to the Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic for another week of the Conservation Report.